Blog Talk Radio.
Project Outbreak Initializing. Booting. Completed. Now checking system. Loading. Completed. The beast is online. Test subject ready. All systems functional. Loading. Completed. Thank you for participating in Project Outbreak. Now injection fired. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I know that here it's a little bit different, but
I also know of women who just go to bars so that guys will buy them free drinks. So I guess I'm wondering how all that works. Like, has that worked out for you, man? Have you had bought a chick a drink and actually had that, you know, end up with her in bed?
Buy her a drink? No. Usually I tell her she can buy me a drink if she wants.
And does that work out for you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That usually starts off a little bit of tension. I generally don't know how to react to that, so I look at you all kind of astounded and stuff, and then you just give them a little smirk and grin, and you move on to actually talking about how stupid it is that people fucking buy other people drinks to me when all you have to do is just kind of strike up a conversation.
Right, and I think that's what's behind the idea of buying the woman a drink. Is if you see a woman at a bar or wherever, and you offer to buy her something to drink, well, then she's kind of, you're buying her attention, at least. That's the intent of it. You're buying her attention for a few minutes while she's drinking the drink you purchased her so that you can have a conversation with her. Now, you should be able to have a conversation with her without the drink. And what you're saying, I think, is interesting because that's kind of been my strategy. It's not been to do what everybody else is doing. If anything, to do the absolute opposite of what everybody else is doing. And hey, it looks like in the chat room, there are folks saying there's no sound. Some people are hearing us and some people are not.
I need to refresh.
Okay. So, yeah, if you refresh the loading page or whatever, refresh your browser, and that should allow you to hear what's going on. I guess let me type that in here. Refresh browser to hear show.
Bobo, if you can hear him, that means you don't need to refresh your browser. Just Zach, who can't hear. He needs to refresh his browser.
Either he needs to turn his speakers on. He might be a little tipsy. He might not realize that his speakers aren't on right now. So you should try that, too.
Actually, man, I'm going to throw this out here real quick. Believe it or not, as far as I know, Zach's like about 2.5 days sober now, man.
Wow. Why?
Yeah. he just decided that he wanted to be pretty when he was 40 still, and alcohol might prevent that, so.
Okay, well.
You know, trim off the beer gut, you know, he got himself a wetsuit, you know, he's doing the beach thing, man, I can't remember exactly where around San Diego, but it's in the San Diego area, he's, you know, got himself what I would call the ideal satanic life.
Right on. Well, that's cool. I mean, good for him. I'm gonna drink to Zach here. Awesome. So very good.
Okay. Absolutely. I wanted to kind of actually, while it was on my brain, actually kind of state. The reason why I usually start off with some line like that, I've done a little bit of studying of human psychology, you know, and a little bit of neurolinguistics programming, a little bit of hypnotism, you know, humanistic psychology, I've studied some of that. You know, I'm not like an expert in any of these fields, but they are something I dabble in moderately to heavily. And one of the premises of hypnosis is that you shock them into a suggestive state, and you do that by doing something they're completely not expecting. It makes them instantly receptive to you because their brain is just kind of like it's gone to what the fuck is going on mode, and it doesn't really know, so it's just drawing information. It's not making any determinations. It hasn't entered into the calculation stage of it. So, it's kind of a psychological thing, and it's actually something that I found some information about on a website called SoSuave.com, which I thought was really interesting. I spent quite a while reading that website just to see the different techniques that people had developed in what I would call sleight of hand connection making.
Right on. My game, I guess, really wasn't that involved. I think I read a study way back in high school about how somebody's understanding that a woman determines within the first 2 minutes of a conversation with a guy whether or not she would have sex with them. Not that she will have sex with them, and not that you can't fuck it up, but within the first two minutes of a conversation, a woman knows enough information about the guy to determine whether or not sex was a possibility, okay? And my whole premise was based on that fact, that in the first 2 minutes, I had to make myself seem more entertaining, more interesting, or interesting enough that they were willing to go ahead and take further interest in what was going on, okay? So the other thing I realized is that when these women are out there, this was a long time ago too, these young women, when they're out there looking for somebody to be with, looking for somebody that they're willing to just go ahead and give up all common sense and just do whatever they're going to do with, they're looking for the alpha male, that primate instinct. They're looking for, you know, the guy that's the most impressive. And they all have their different things that impress them, you know, whether it's the car, the money, the body, whatever. They all have a different thing that impresses them, but they're looking for the most impressive, okay? So it occurred to me quickly that the best place to meet and pick up women was not the bar, okay? The best place to meet and pick up women was my house, okay? So my house became the party house for what ended up being like two or three colleges in the area. That everybody knew that if you're going to go here, it was this place where these three to six guys, depending on, you know, how many people were floating in and out, they all had rooms in this great big house, and it was just every weekend there was a party there. It was the place to be for crazy music and free drinks and wanton sex. And when women would come into this environment, well, who's the alpha male in this environment? Well, it's the guys that live in the house, you know, the three or four to six of us. So that was step one, limit the competition. Basically, and be in that top environment. Now, we got a caller here waiting for the line to pick up, but I think it's Zach, and I don't know if he wants to actually talk or if he wants to just listen to the show. So, Zach, you're in the chat room also.
I think he said something in the chat room about calling in, so maybe
call
he's
in,
just...
But
he might be talking about it just because he wants to listen to the show, but either way, I don't know, man. Now that I think about it, maybe it might be better to leave him muted.
Well, he can let us know in the chat room whether or not he wants to actually talk or whether he's just listening.
Right on. So, anyway, yeah, man, fucking, I think it's kind of really interesting the different strategies that people use to mate, so to speak, not necessarily develop a, you know, love of a lifetime type deal, but, you know, to play a little bit of the baloney pony pouncing theme, you know what I mean?
Right.
So it's
a game. The whole ritual, the whole tradition of it, it is a game. It's you got one side of the group. 50% of the people out there playing this game, they're the decision makers. They're the ones that have the choice. They're the ones being pursued. Okay, so they're the object of desire. And then the other 50% are the poor schmucks chasing whatever that is. And I used to make the statement that women have it easy because they can go to a bar, they get all these free drinks, all they have to do is show up and look good, shake their ass a little bit, and they're nice made. They can have any guy they want to be with, right? And then some woman, I forget which one it was, pointed out to me, but yeah, they go to the bar and they get some guy interested in them, and they don't know if this guy's a rapist, a serial killer, they don't know what his deal is. So it's not as simple as, oh, I'm going to go home and fuck him and everything's going to be cool. She's taking a significant risk doing so. So it kind of, you know, it brought another angle to the whole argument in my mind. But still, I think
right.
they have it pretty easy as far as this whole the game's concerned. It's the women that are really running the fucking board.
Well, I wouldn't disagree with that, man. That's also, I guess, why I would say there's more like a subverted, tactical game that they've got to play, man. I mean, you know, it's like a peacock. You know, even though the peacock is male, the one with the bright, flashy tail is usually male. You know, the idea is, though, that the game is there and they have to flirt a certain amount. There has to be a certain element to send that buzz over to you so that your little pecker picks up on the fact that she might be interested. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right. And it's just pretending to be interested in most cases. It's just walking into your room and letting every guy know that they could be the one. And that's when the free drinks start pouring in. Another tradition that I always found odd was the three dates tradition. You know what I'm talking about? That it's considered, if you're dating, that it's considered you don't put out until the third date, okay? Now, if you put out after the third date, it's okay to put out, but during those first three dates, you're not supposed to. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, I do know. I know exactly what you're talking about. It's, I don't know, I guess, I think it kind of developed in the later 70s as a reaction to the whole free love period.
I
can remember
go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I can remember my mom talking about this with one of her girlfriends when I was just a young boy, and we were all sitting there playing cards, and she was talking back and forth about this being now the socially accepted norm and where she thought it was coming from. And I think at that point, she would have had a lot more insight than I would have, if you know what I mean.
Right, right. Well, I think, and what you're saying about being a reaction to the 70s free love thing, or the 60s free love thing, is before that, it was you waited till you were married to have sex. Otherwise, you were considered loose. But the three date thing, for me, that rule right there, if on the first date, you know, I did the deal. I bought the dinner. We went out to the movie. We did the entertainment thing. If you didn't put out, you didn't hear from me again. You know, I didn't want to deal with those type of women. So it was like it was either going to happen or I was done talking to you.
See, I've always kind of gone into it with this attitude that, they don't have the magic box, and if they want to get some from me, they're going to have to work for it. And that generally tends to have them pretty much ready at the end of the first date, but I usually torture them for a few more dates just to ensure that little bit of a stronghold. So.
And I guess that would be, I mean, that's almost a topic for another show as far as relationships with women and everything else. And I've had, you know, a lot of girlfriends who have been pissed off at just how equal I treat them. You know, I get with a lot of women who are very, very intellectually, well-developed, they're well-read, they have very solid political ideas, they have a strong sense of self and everything else, and they talk a good game about equality. All right, but they usually don't know what to do with it when it's actually handed to them. So, okay, you're just like everybody else. You're equal. You're equal to me, which means your expectations, your obligations, and all that is the same, and you're not getting anything different out of me just because you're the woman.
Right on. Right on. That I don't have a problem with that at all.
Right, right. But a lot of chicks that I've been with have had a problem with that, so it's it could be pretty pretty ugly when it's one of the things that attracted these women to me in the first place was that they were treated like human beings, not the object of desire, not the thing that had to be had or whatever, not the typical way, because like I said at the beginning, it's usually by doing the exact opposite of what all the other guys were doing, I stood out from those people. So when these women find out, oh, yeah, he treats me just like anybody else, he the whole thing, and then they find out in the relationship that it doesn't end, It's not that now that I've landed you, don't expect anything romantic or anything else. And it's funny, my girlfriend's listening to the show right now. I'm sure she's sitting there shaking her head going, yep, exactly. That's exactly the way it is. And she hates it. But it's just the way it is. But anyways, we got a lot of listeners. Folks, if you want to call in and share your experiences in that whole the ritual, the opening dating, trying to hook up ritual, the phone number is 347-989-1371. And we'd love to hear your thoughts.
Now, you know, I'm actually sitting here thinking about all this. I'm talking about what my approach has always been, but I'm not expressing that as of recently it's become different. So, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't really matter. She's asleep on the couch anyway. But just, you know, for clarification, you know, it is okay once you meet that right person to let yourself be a little more, less guarded.
Sure. And I guess I have mellowed with age, probably. She's saying no comment, but I'm in the chat room. I probably have mellowed with age. I think I've gotten a little bit better about it. But especially since, you know, it's no longer the dating game either, you know. It's something more real, something with more substance, which we're getting off topic. Back when I was in Europe, what's that?
I was going to say, we're not really getting that far off topic, because what's amazing to me is that there are guys that almost try to start at the point that we're talking about. And that can be pretty much hilarious, you know. You walk up and kill them with flattery and flowers and drinks and shit. You're usually the asshole sitting at the bar still when she leaves, you know, 20 minutes before
right.
It closes.
Yeah, she got liquored up on your drinks and went with some dude who just walked in 15 minutes before closing who has a nice car and knew when to show up. Exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, that's, I'm just tossing that out there because I was thinking about it. It's very relative to the topic still. You got to,
right.
Not put the horse before the cart, so to speak. Put the horse before the cart.
Well, I was going to say about this game that it's such an established process that if you go to a bar and you see an attractive woman, that one of the things you do here in our country, in our society, is you buy her a drink and strike up a conversation. That in Europe, one of my buddies and I were going to go see some show, I don't know which rock band it was, but they're playing the local show in Frankfurt, and we decided to stop into this bar that was close to the red light district, and we were really familiar with the red light district. So we go into this bar, and we knew the score. The two of us had been in Europe for a while, and so we knew the deal with the differences in culture. But we go into this bar, and we sit down, and these two very attractive women come over and ask us if they can take a seat with us. And we're thinking, wow, this is really cool. You know, these women want to sit with us. Yeah, sure, sit down. The bar was pretty much empty because there's this concert coming up. So they're sitting there, and they're talking to us and everything else, and my buddy goes, well, I'm going to go ahead and get a drink. And these chicks like, whoa, oh, yeah, could you get us something, too? And we're kind of taken aback by this because in Europe, so the girls don't do that, right? And my buddy looks at me and goes, yeah, sure, we'll go ahead and go to the bar and get whatever you want. How much you were looking to spend? And they're like, oh, well, you would buy us a drink. And when it occurred to us that what these women were doing was they weren't customers, they were employees. And what they were doing was, after they couldn't pump us for drinks, they would go find somebody else to pump for drinks. It was just their way of getting the guys that came into the bar to double their orders at the bar, so the bar made more money.
Right on.
Right. And it was just because they knew the game, and they knew that being American, and this was a bar currently frequented by a lot of Americans, that was what was in our culture.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I'm sorry, I'm just catching up. I actually had, I don't know if you heard, I had a toddler emergency. Well, he's not a toddler anymore, but still an emergency of sorts. So I guess I'm still processing, man. So forgive me if I don't have any great commentary.
No. It's just, you know, just showing that how this game, how this thing that's out there, how easily it can be exploited. And it's just, it doesn't make any sense. And that's been, I guess, part of my thing with the whole dating thing is that you treat people like equals. You treat people with as much respect as they possibly could earn. You know, of course, you give them the opportunity to either, you know, maintain that level of respect or lose it or whatever. And you have conversations. If you're interested in them, you have your conversations that go in the direction to express your interest. The game I've never understood, the whole catch and release that chicks seem to do, you know, that or guys that do this with women or whatever. I'm paying attention to you. I'm interested. I'm not interested. Go off and go away. I'm paying attention to you. I'm interested. You buy me something. I'm not interested. You go away. That kind of thing. And you know, most of the women that I've known found out pretty quickly that kind of bullshit didn't play with me. But it seems to be the thing that works or that goes on between so many other women and so many other men.
Right on. What I'm curious about is pickup lines. Do they really fucking work? I mean, I've never seen anybody with a good pickup line.
No, I've never. Yeah, exactly. It's like, unless the chick is just a complete idiot. Okay, we were I have a lot of stories about being in Europe because that's pretty much where I did my growing up. I was out with a bunch of German friends and a bunch of German chicks, and we went to an American club. And me and a friend of mine, Misha, were sitting at this bar, sitting at a table, and everybody else was out dancing. We're sitting at this table, and it's just she and I, and I don't know what it was about the two of us, but we made it pretty clear that the two of us were just friends. We weren't messing around. We were across from the table from one another. And some dude walks up and says to her, "Hey, I hope you don't mind, but I could tell all the way from across the room that you are a really intelligent woman." Okay? And she immediately goes, "You could tell how smart I was from across the room just by looking at me?" Right? And I go, what you're saying is that she's an idiot is what you're saying, right? If you think that line would work. And he just got pissed and walked away. But the thing is that he tried that line. When he said it, he didn't stammer. He didn't stutter. It was a practice smooth line, which means that he either believed it was eventually going to work or it had worked for him before.
My fear is that the latter is true, man.
Right. That's the scary thing. Is it that the girl knew it was a line, but went with it anyways, took it as a compliment that the guy was paying attention to her and was laying his line on her, and it probably goes both ways. Did she really just not realize that it was a fucking line and took it as a sincere compliment?
Right on. I'm laughing now. Wicked Puppy in the chat room put 50 no's and one yes is still a yes.
Well, there was an episode of some TV show where some kid was trying to figure out how to pick up women. And one of the characters was a womanizer, a well-known womanizer. And he's like, "Well, follow me around for a day and I'll show you how it works." And he went where women hung out, and that was his deal. He had a line, one line, that he tried on every woman he ran into. And after 25, 30 women, he finally got one to give up her number.
That's just crazy, man. What really kills me beyond all of this, man, is that the people actually read books on this shit. There's actually, like, some kind of study done in this. And that's one of the things that I was most impressed with that SoSuave.com website, is that these are guys that are actually talking about the dynamics of this whole deal, you know. If you want her to be thinking sexually, while you're standing next to her, you know, touch the back of her neck, touch the swell of her back kind of deal. You know, and these are tried and true proven methods most of the time. So it's just kind of crazy in that. I mean, who the hell picks up a book, 101 greatest pickup lines and then runs around trying that shit out, I guess.
Well, I know exactly what you're talking about. It's not just books. These guys have online seminars. There are communities, like social networks, where guys get together and talk about strategies and talk about lines, talk about where the women are at, where they're biting, where the easy women are at, and where it's harder to get with a woman. So they've got these, I mean, and the grades on, you know, the how attractive the woman is. And it's just, there's an industry out there. They had a guy on Good Morning America, I guess, who that's his thing. That was his deal, that not only could he be with pretty much any woman he wanted to be with, but he could show any guy how to be with any woman they wanted to be with. And, you know, what's funny is that the two female hosts that were interviewing him, right, they both let him know that they thought he was pretty much a douchebag, right? But he was, even during the show, laying the game on them, you know, doing exactly what he told his guy friends to do. Pay attention to what they're saying, maintain constant eye contact, show like you're really sincere, your facial expressions. It was just ridiculous.
Right on. And yeah, I mean, it's absolutely crazy, and in my mind, it shows how fucking mechanical we are, man, as people, you know, human beings, that you can do this certain sequence of things, and it's going to cue this section of their brain.
Exactly.
And next thing you know, there will be some obscure religion on the internet with a forum section dedicated to the art of pickup lines. Oh, did I say
yeah,
that? I'm sorry.
It's going to be part of somebody's enlightening towards Ipsissimus, that, you know, that whole process is going to be part of the deal.
Yep. And don't forget your six-pack abs.
Right.
Anyway, man, I mean, the whole thing's just retarded. If you're so ignorant that you can't go to a bar and stand there for, I don't know, a half hour and watch what's going on, and you know, then you're not going to get a clue going to a fucking 3-day seminar either.
Right. Yeah. If you don't have the social skills to do it, you know, on your own, then yeah, it's not going to help you. You know what those seminars do give those people? Okay, is they give them an artificial sense of confidence. Okay. They go into a bar by themselves and they've got nothing. It's just them. But if they go into a bar with this arsenal of pickup lines and techniques and moves and everything else, well, then it's like praying to a false god. You know, they can blame it on the technique or their lack of experience with the technique. It's not just them. That's what's going on with those seminars. And that's what I mean. And chicks pick up on that, I think, too. That it's about confidence, because my experience has been, if you go to a bar, you know, to pay too much for your alcohol in the first place, right? Well, then you've got a little bit of money in your pocket. And if you're just there to have a good time, if you're just there to hang out with your friends or whatever, or have a couple of drinks and socialize or whatever, and you're not there for some, because you're desperate to get laid, it tends to work out in your favor. As a matter of fact, that tends to be the case, that the harder you are, the harder you work to try to get laid, the less likely it is to happen.
Right on. Even your hand will turn you down at some point. It's like, you're fucking pathetic, dude.
Right. Touch me again, I'm dialing 911 and calling you in a race. Let me give up the number again real quick. 347-989-1371. There's an awful lot of chatter going on in the chat room, but nobody seems to want to call in and share their dating stories or whatever, their pickup lines or whatever here on the air. So give us a call if you got something to share. If not, we'll just keep babbling on about, you know, how above the two of us are compared to all these other morons out there trying these different dating techniques.
Oh, it's just retarded, man. Oh, I knew it was a good idea to do this show. As soon as I saw it come across my phone, man, I was like, yep, that's it right there. What's actually really funny, tonight's show has been a lot closer to what I remember Twisted Radio being like than the previous shows that we've had so far. Well, but what's even more ironic than that is that Gino had actually tried to get one of these websites started, one of these How to Pick Up Girls websites started. Now, keep in mind, the only time this dude got laid, was the story, my son's mother.
Right, right, dude. You don't have to go into it, man.
In the year that I knew him, that was it, man. At that, and there was actually a lesbian trying to have a baby, and
Well, you're not counting the guys he was fucking then, right?
What's that?
I said you're not counting the guys he was fucking then, right?
No, I'm not counting those, man. Of course not. I mean, that's, you know, go to a truck stop, pick a star, drop your drawers, and just wait.
Well, you know, he would be the perfect person to set up something like that if he could actually, you know, get it off the ground. Because he has no experience. And when you have no experience, you're an excellent teacher. When you don't know what the fuck you're talking about, you tend to have the most to say.
Right on. So, that was just killing me, man. I just thought about it, and I was like, wow, it's kind of like a weird... like resonance or whatever. The funny thing was that he wanted it to be like covert, so that guys who had old ladies and were trying to pick up some side ass could go to this website without you know, the better half being able to check the internet browser and see what the hell is going on. So he put some clever little name on it. I think it was like the place to go or something like that. It really was kind of a failure, but the whole premise behind the whole deal was like, they would post a picture of the girl. They would post all the information about her that they found out. This way, the next guy would have a better chance. You know, you already know what her favorite flower is. You already know what bar she goes to on Tuesday nights. You already know how many drinks it takes to get her shirt off. I mean, this is the kind of information that was on this website.
Okay, yeah. Oh, it sounds like those networks that I was talking about. These guys, that's what they do, is they share this information about, you know, I don't know if they share it about individual women, but yeah, it's along those same lines.
Right on.
Which, if you've got, you know what, if you've got to have that kind of strategy, if you have to kind of have that kind of knowledge ahead of time to hope to get into a woman's pants, well then, you need to work on some other things besides your pickup lines, I think.
Yeah, I think you need to limit the porn collection some, too. I mean, fuck, these guys have got to have calluses.
Right? Oh, jeez. Burn marks.
We got a phone call.
Oh, do we have a phone call?
Yeah, we got a phone call. It looks like a Texas number, man.
Yeah, dude, I don't know if I want to take that phone call. Hang on, I'll bring it on the line here.
you can use the screen room.
512, you're on the air. This is Outbreak Radio. What's on your brain, man?
Hey, guys, I have a couple of stories I want to share. The first one is what I'm trying to figure out is when I go into a gas station or a convenience store or a department store or whatever, and a guy opens the door for me and holds the door, and I say thank you and smile politely, why would that give any guy the opportunity to say, wasn't that nice? Wasn't that nice for me to hold your door? I have this experience with this guy, and he it's almost like he expects me to give him something in return because he holds the door open for me. So this is a pickup line of some sort because he opened the door and held the door for me to walk through and I acknowledged politely.
That's a good question, Jason.
Yeah, I think that, well, first of all, my phone cut out while she was telling the story. I think you're basically saying that some guy opened the door for you, and you said thank you. He was being polite, you were being polite, but he saw that as an opening. Is that right? He saw that as an opportunity to hit on you?
Absolutely.
I think it's the game-playing mentality is that any opportunity to have a conversation with a woman, any situation where you can create where conversation becomes almost obligatory, okay, that's what you go for. I've seen guys standing around who, I've been to the mall and saw a guy talking, you know, just walk up, talk to a girl, said, asked her what time of day it was. And she looked at her watch, gave the time of day, and did the same thing, started laying a rap on her. You know, hey, you're kind of cute. What's your name? You know? And when she didn't want to tell him, you know, look, I don't want to go into what my name is and everything else. Or, you know, I gave you the time, go away and everything. He got shitty about it. So yeah, I think it's just any excuse to talk to a woman. There's some guys that are just, you know, some people, probably not just men, some people are just so desperate for that interaction that any opening is a good opening as far as they're concerned.
You know, I mean, to me, I'm having a hard time just wrapping my head around this whole thing because I've just been, you know, taught my whole life that it's social etiquette to open the door for a woman and hold it for her and for older people and children. So I wouldn't even think of using that as like some opportunity to talk to somebody. It just seems to me.
I guess maybe it depends on the level of desperation you're at as a guy or...
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, really, honestly, you're doing something that, you know, well, it's like putting your jacket down over a puddle for someone to cross. You know, you're doing something to kind of give the person that's, you know, sharing the same space with you some dignity and mm-hmm. you know, show that you're a person of fiber at the same time. So,
I've got one more story that I want to share, and it's it was another instance where, you know, something like that. I'm going to my ex girlfriend now, but I was going to her Halloween party, and I get there, and there's this drunk guy in the front yard, and there's a bunch of people standing around. He's kind of loud and obnoxious, and I go to walk in the door, just completely ignore everybody that's standing there, and he stops me and tells me that I have to kiss him before I can go in. And I'm taken, you know, off guard. I'm like, what the hell am I supposed to do? What do you mean I have to kiss you in order for me to walk through the door? And he said, that's what I'm saying. You have to kiss me before you can walk in the door. And so I'm standing there. I'm like, no, I'm just going to go into this party. I'm gonna have a good time. I don't want to have to kiss you before I walk in the door. And he won't move until I kiss him. So finally, I just do it. I just kiss him because I don't know how else to get around this situation. And I thought it was interesting that he decided that he wasn't going to allow me to do what I wanted to do until I, you know, gave him what he wanted. I guess maybe 7 years later, I should probably tell him that wasn't necessarily the right way to go, but...
He's lucky you didn't get kissed in the junk with your foot. That's what it sounds like to me.
with that story, I think there's more going on there, right? Because, you know, in today's society, if you don't want to kiss some guy, you know, you tell him you don't want to kiss him. Here's this whole crowd you just mentioned. Why didn't you make a scene? Why didn't you make a big deal out of it? Why didn't you embarrass him into letting you go through? I mean, this
probably
guy wasn't like some sort of
alpha. It's, it's probably because I, you know, had had the hots for him for a while, but that's totally besides the point.
See, I understand now, TC. What she's saying is that she comes to a party and there's the alpha male, the animal man, in the doorway. And she, when he says, hey, how about a kiss before you go in, all this other crap, this fantasy and everything else, she wanted to kiss him and was just happy to do so. You know, almost a cramp in the jaw that badly she wanted to kiss him, that kind of thing.
I'm hearing a little bit of what the Irish like to refer to as blarney, and I'm not really sure which end it's coming from here. So,
I'm calling shenanigans. This one,
either way, I would have to applaud that guy, the guy standing in the door, because he's not the kind of asshole that's going to buy her a drink. He's the kind of asshole that's going to tell her, yeah, it's okay for you to buy me a drink.
Right, exactly.
I think he supplied the alcohol that night. But anyway. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you. Boy, I'm so glad you didn't get grounded, man.
I knew we shouldn't have taken that call, dude.
Oh, that's great.
But you know what? In that situation, exactly what I was talking about implies that in that instance, it was at a party at my friend's house, right? It might as well have been my place. I'm supplying the alcohol, and you know, yeah, I was drunk, but she was obviously into it, so things worked out for the best.
Hey, I use this line all the time. I say, yeah, but you like it.
Right, exactly. When you say totally outlandish, it's just totally not what they expected because all the bullshit is off. You're not treating them like you, they're just like one of the guys, except they have tits and a pussy and you want to fuck them. That's the only difference. You know, but you know, so you're not trying. You're not being any less crass. You're not being any less, you know. You're not being any more tactful. You're just treating him like another human being who you know has the same urges and interests that you do. So there's no pretension. There's no putting him on a pedestal. There's none of that. And the rituals we have is, I think, it's just some sort of artificial pedestal building. The 3 days waiting to get laid. The buying him a drink. The flowers. I mean, fucking Valentine's Day, dude. A whole. That's just an industry scam, you know. It's, you know, tax time. So let's get you to spend a little bit of money on some bullshit holiday.
Right on.
Right. Exactly.
That's funny. It does seem like a lot of things are artificially put in place just for the simple task of making you jump through hoops like a clown.
Right. And on some levels, those hoops, it's still the woman's advantage to have people jump through those hoops. On some levels, it's important for them. But on other levels, they're doing themselves more harm by playing those games, by having that obligation. The men, too, they're doing themselves more harm than good because when it's time for the rubber to actually meet the road, when it's time for this relationship to go someplace beyond this initial bullshit, well, then they find out just how artificial the whole thing was. And if there isn't anything substantial there, you know, to build on, then they're both left disappointed, both parties involved.
Right. Well, it's that is what I'd refer to as a tarantula dating game, man. Have you ever seen the tarantulas do the little mating dance that they do?
Yeah.
Like they go right up face to face and stand up and show all their, you know, wild exotic colors that are on the bottom that make them all scary to their, you know, potential predators. And then they dance back and forth around until they finally interlock, and then they do the little deal, you know, where he stuffs his little thing in the little egg sack hole, and then after that she eats him. And so that's what happened. He was fronting. He wasn't really as tough as what he thought. You know, I mean, that's a perfect example of it.
And you know what? What's funny about these bullshit games is when you go to a culture, when you go to a country like Australia, where for whatever reason in Australia, at least for a while, the trend was there were more women than men. Okay? So in an environment like that, where there are more women than men walking around, the bullshit, the 3 days waiting to get laid, the buying somebody a drink, all that goes out the window. And all of a sudden, the chicks are all about, you know, what do I got to do to make it happen tonight? So I don't know if it's still that way in Australia, but for those single guys who are struggling here in the United States, Australia may be the place to be.
To me, that sounds a lot like a Philadelphia or a Pittsburgh trailer park.
I'm not familiar with either, dude. There are more women in those trailer parks than men?
Typically. But beyond that, all those rules are just out the door.
Oh, right on.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know you're an appreciator of porn. Haven't you ever noticed that a lot of porn stars have Pittsburgh Steelers tattoos?
Dude, now that you mention it, yes. Wow.
Because they come from Pittsburgh, bud.
Wow. Awesome.
Yeah. Cities to put on a list for your free tattoo campaign, Pittsburgh. And if I was you, I'd do a tattoo party, if you know what I'm saying, at the local fucking tin home convention.
Oh, jeez. That could be a little bit unsanitary, I think, but yeah. It could be visually interesting.
Right on. The good news is, man, you know, you won't have to worry about the quality of work, dude. They get retarded tattoos all the time.
Right, right. So, let's see here. We got about 8 minutes left in the show. If anybody else wants to call in, the phone number is 347-989-1371. And I'm kind of curious with the different – we've got other people in the chat room. I think we've got three women who, you know, other people who aren't working for the ooze. We've got three women and one dude, because I think I'm familiar with all these different people here. Of the women, what do they think of the three-night rule, the traditional rule that it's, you know, it's 3 nights before you put out? If you put out earlier than 3 nights, that's considered a social taboo. You've committed a social faux pas. I'll be watching the chat room here to see how people respond.
Right on. I think they should replace that with the Netflix rule, man. If they can press the fucking play button, game on.
Okay, I think we got one vote for the... We got two votes for the putting out on the first night. Well, okay, see, somebody just posted that the third week if I want. See, that's understood that it's up to the woman, right, that it should be it's her prerogative. The question is, though, do you think should you wait 3 nights before you do so, or is that rule out the window? So Heart So Dark has an opportunity to respond again, I guess. A Wicked Puppy, it says, who dates for real? That's a fair assessment, I think. I think that's a change in our culture, that you don't have a traditional date anymore. You go someplace, you meet somebody, you hook up. I think that's the way it should be.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the age of Satan, man. You know, people are ready to get it on anymore. It's not like it used to be. I mean, as a matter of fact, dude, it's absolutely amazing to me when I go places, the number of girls that I see playing with their hair as they're staring at some guy. And it just didn't used to be like that. You know, I can remember 15 years ago, sometimes they would have like this disgusted look on their face. You don't see that anymore. You just see them with the little bedroom eyes going and they're twirling their hair.
Now, here's my question to that, because I was thinking about that as well. But is it... that you see it now with all these girls, right, and it's new? Or is it that when you were that age, you didn't recognize it, and now you do recognize what it is, and you notice it?
I'm thinking it's probably a little bit of both. I'm sure Britney Spears coming on the popularity scene didn't hurt any.
Right, okay. So you got all these really young chicks imitating these different pop stars and everything else who are just nuts.
Right.
Right on.
Yeah.
I know for me, you know, being, I guess, older than you, for me it's a matter of, you know, back when I was a guy, a young guy, I didn't notice, okay? Still now, you have to pretty much hit me over the head and go, hey, I want to hook up for me to pay attention to you. Because it is, again, for me, it's not a matter of I don't play that game. I don't play the game. So it's for me, I don't, you know, you could be doing all the signals, playing with your hair, you know, leaning over, touching my leg and everything else, and I'll just think it's creepy that you're touching me. That's just the way it
right
is.
Right on. Right on. Well, I think that's a good thing that you're describing there, man, but I'm having a real hard time being for sure about that.
What, about me not picking up on it?
Yeah.
No, I'm bad about it, man. And this is where this comes from. Being an artist and dealing with women and having to have women, you know, pose as models and everything else on different occasions, you have to develop this sense of professionalism, right? I know it sounds like a load of shit, but you don't want to offend them, or you don't want them to think that you're doing this because you're interested in, there's an ulterior motive. Even though that motive may be constant, it's not professional for you to appear that way. So you ignore the shit if it's there, if it's obvious. You tend to be blind, you know, you're blind to it, or you see it so much that you don't notice it anymore. Maybe it's my radar's burned out. Maybe that's it. Because,
maybe,
you know,
yeah. I don't know. I generally tend to like poke at it. You know, I'm one of them assholes that if I see an open wound, I stick my finger in it, twist it around, and go, does that hurt? You know, so.
Well, see, like with the hair playing thing, okay? That part of the, you know, they're looking at, if some chick's looking at me, I tend to go, why is that chick staring at me? And if she's playing with her hair, it's like, does she have a nervous problem? Why is she playing with her hair? It's that kind of thing, you know? It's objective.
Absolutely. Shit, dude, I'm looking. We got like 2 minutes left in the show. I mean, if you got more to say on this, we can bump it out, or we can just bow out gracefully, whatever you want to do.
No, man, I think we've worn this fucking thing out. So,
do you?
So it's cool.
Yeah. And I'm either that or a chick is staring at you right now, twirling her hair, one or the other, right?
Yeah, but I'm trying to figure out why. I mean, if she's just fucking, she's got some nervous habit or something, she's going to start chewing on it or whatever. I don't know what's going on there. So,
if she doesn't twitch, I think it's pretty safe to assume the prior.
So, we don't know what we're doing for next week's show yet, just like we didn't know for sure what we're doing for this week's show until a couple of days had passed. But we're going to have something up for next week. Oh, that's right. We're doing the Nailed to the Cross.
Yeah, we are, actually. I haven't had a chance to post it up yet, but we are doing part two. We're going to do the show topic was so popular, I figured it would be fun to kind of goof on it now. So,
right, and for those folks who haven't listened to that show, first of all, where's the original show at? I guess we should post the link in the chat room.
I could do that, or they could just go to the main page. I think it's still up on the main page.
Okay. So this is on the Ooze, and what was the show about?
It was called Nailed to the Cross. It was about Satanism and martyrdom, or left-hand path to martyrdom.
So next week, what we're going to do is we're going to kind of talk about some of the the truly amazingly stupid examples of this that we've seen, you know, the people that play the whole victim card, the whole thing, that they think that's the way to go in the left-hand path for some reason. So that's our plan for next week.
Right on. That's our plan for next week, yep.
Right on. So, cool.
We're out of here, guys.
All right, later.
Later.